This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Members of the State Environment Commission are meeting this week to talk about new standards that are getting some pushback from environmental groups. The new law cuts the number of air quality monitors in North Carolina and provides immunity for companies that self-report any environmental violations. The Department of Environmental Quality says the law encourages companies to be transparent. Environmentalists say it amounts to protection for polluters. Meanwhile, Duke Energy has filed a complaint against an environmental group for distributing solar energy to a church in Greensboro. The group, NC Warn, helped to install a small solar array on top of the Faith Community Church earlier this year. Duke Energy says the system violates state law that bans third-party utility sales. WNC Environment reporter Dave DeWitt is here with the latest on those stories. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Frank.
Let us start with that last story first, the solar dispute in Greensboro. Remind us about how this solar array was developed at Faith Community Church.
Well, NC Warren, the group you mentioned, paid the upfront cost of installing 20 solar panels on the roof of this church at a cost of about $20,000. And then they are selling the electricity back to the church at, I think it's 5 cents per kilowatt hour, which is about half what the church was paying Duke Energy for electricity. So it doesn't cover all the electricity needs of the church, but this bill is a lot less than it was when they were paying just Duke Energy. Now, if this was a commercial enterprise and NC Warren was selling it to the general public, this would be called third-party sales. And that is illegal in North Carolina. In fact, only a handful of states, I think it's four, maybe three now. I think South Carolina has made some changes, but strictly prohibit third-party sales in North Carolina. Other states, it's allowed. This is a pretty narrow case because it's a nonprofit organization providing electricity to another nonprofit. So there's some legal questions about whether this falls into that illegal third-party sales thing or not. And the North Carolina Utilities Commission will make that determination.
They're going to make the determination, though. Is there anything in the law that says, that distinguishes nonprofit from profit for-profit when it comes to the sale of solar energy?
I think it depends on who's paying your legal bills about whether that is whether you think it does or not.
Yeah.
There are a lot of inconsistencies in the law. There have been cases of this in the past that have been different and not involving nonprofits. So this is a test case, and that's very much what North Carolina Warren wanted to do, was create a test case in which this would be decided by the North Carolina Utilities Commission, because, you know, the Faith Community Church is a well-known church in Greensboro. Reverend Nelson Johnson is a well-known civil rights advocate. He's been very vocal about these things, and so getting out in front of this was something North Carolina Warren very much wanted.
Vocal indeed. You spoke with him earlier this year.
We don't think that a monopoly named Duke has inherent entitlement to grab the sun's energy that's given and filter it through a money-making mechanism that leaves some people on the sidelines and in the ditches of debt because they cannot pay their bills.
That's Reverend Nelson Johnson of Faith Community Church in Greensboro, the recipient of the solar array, now buying energy from NC Warren at much less than it was paying Duke Energy. Duke Energy says third-party sale, you can't do it. You also spoke with Randy Wheelis, who is a spokesman for Duke Energy's renewable energy efforts, and here's what he has to say.
The state law seems clear to us that that third-party sales are not allowed in North Carolina, and this is really to protect a lot of people. This prevents Duke Energy from trying to take a customer from a municipal utility or an electric co-op or vice versa. So the laws have been in place, and they've actually worked pretty well considering electric rates for Duke Energy are about 20% below the national average.
Duke Energy spokesman Randy Wheelis, the utility, asked the State Utilities Commission to look into and investigate an environmental group claims it broke the law, NC Warren, for distributing solar power to a church in Greensboro. Tell us more about this law. He gave us a little bit of the rationale, says that we're paying generally less for electricity, although the solar array is going to mean that that church pays far less. So what is the rationale behind this prohibition on third-party sales?
Well, Duke Energy for decades, if not centuries, has developed the lines. They developed the power generation. You know, there were other companies, obviously, before they all sort of merged. Now Duke Energy is the major one here in the state. And it's very much an economic dispatch system where they provide the cheapest electricity possible. And it's served the state of North Carolina pretty well. You know, we have cheap electricity rates. They are 20% below the national average. And it's brought a lot of industry here through the years, starting with textiles and most recently with large data centers from Google and Apple. They came here largely because it was cheap electricity. Now they've changed and want some more renewable electricity under some political pressure to do so. So that's the model it's always been in this state. In other parts of the country, though, What's happened is Arizona, Texas is a really interesting model. They've got a lot of wind energy, and they've deregulated those markets somewhat, and you allow these third-party electric sales, which a company comes in, upfront cost for solar or wind is very expensive. Not everybody can do it. Only the wealthier people can do it. But now, with that, it can make it accessible to all people, middle income, low income people, if they can pay a rate of electricity that is somewhat comparable to what they're paying now. And that's what they've seen in other states. Here in North Carolina, where Duke Energy is a pretty powerful entity, and it just hasn't taken root here. And other states that have prohibited it are largely in the South. So it's taking longer to come here. But most people believe that the tide is turning somewhat and that third-party solar sales are not too far away.
All right. We'll talk more about that. Before we leave that issue, though, what can possibly happen if NC Warren loses? There are fines looming, aren't there?
There could be. You know, one thing that Duke Energy has suggested that there could be fines of up to $1,000 a day. That'd be about $120,000 for a group like NC Warren. That's a significant amount of money. It's more likely, though, that the public staff, the Utilities Commission, doesn't want that. The public staff represents, you know, supposedly the public interest in front of the Utilities Commission. It's more likely what will happen is this will probably be stopped, or they'll be prohibited from doing this, and that NC Warren, which they've already said they will donate the solar array to the church. But there are other entities paying close attention. You know, outside solar companies are paying attention. And there's a couple of other civil rights organizations, the Faith, Power, and Light here in North Carolina, looking at potentially other options for churches. You know, in a PR sense, this is not great for Duke Energy because they're going up against civil rights advocates and churches. And that's not a dynamic they want to continue.
Well, and also you talked about the turning tide in sort of moving away from this lock on solar energy. And I guess some of the pressure points would be the growing solar industry. In other words, there's a lot of money to be made for the state and in jobs production if you promote solar energy. And also on the ideological side, if you're against government regulation and you're for free market, allowing a market to proliferate in solar energy would be sort of where you are ideologically.
And this is the debate we saw in the legislature this year and is going to only continue, where Republicans, you know, who are in control of the state legislature, obviously, are debating these issues. You know, it is a free market. Why can't I put solar panels, you know, in different places? Why do I have to pay only one regulated monopoly? So these are going to be ongoing conversations, but we see the tide somewhat turning to a more of a free market and renewable energy option.
In other news, the State Environmental Management Commission is meeting this week to talk about environmental standards. DEQ also asking the Environmental Management Commission to give its blessing to a plan that the state will submit to the EPA to comply with the Clean Power Plan. Now, tell us what this means. DEQ is planning to submit what they reconciling, I guess, with the EPA. Tell us more about it.
Right. The EPA Clean Power Plan that the Obama administration announced not too long ago required each state to develop a plan, and they gave each state mandates. And in North Carolina, that means going from 58 tons of carbon per year to 51 tons of carbon emission from a power plant, from power plants per year. Now, North Carolina is one of only two dozen states or so that's suing the EPA over this. They are providing a plan, though. They are submitting a plan while they're pursuing this lawsuit. They're pretty confident they're going to win, these 24 states. That's up to legal scholars whether they will or not. But in developing a plan, the plan that they're developing apparently doesn't quite meet the carbon standards that are being set by the EPA. So it's a plan that, at least environmentalists say, is set up to fail. And that if it's set up to fail or be rejected by the EPA, then it's quite possible that the EPA or the federal government can implement its own plan on North Carolina if the legal challenge goes for the EPA. Now, all these things will happen well down the road. They'll be affected by political changes at the national level for sure. But one thing that is interesting locally is that North Carolina is the only state that's involved in the lawsuit against the feds where the state attorney general is not involved at all. This is emanating completely from the Department of Environmental Quality. Of course, the attorney general here in North Carolina is Roy Cooper, a Democrat running for governor. So this will play out in the local or the statewide election for sure coming up here through the next year.
Another issue that seems to be settled for now is the implementation of a law that allows companies to avoid fines if they self-report environmental infractions. Tell us about it.
Right. This was a law originally House Bill 765 was signed by Governor McCrory recently. And it has two interesting elements to it. It had many that have been talked out and debated. But the two that are left are reducing the number of air quality monitors and also then allowing what environmental groups are calling the Polluter Protection Act. But it's actually or what other people are saying, Department of Environmental Quality and other people are saying, that it really is creating an opportunity for companies to self-report or self-audit, and then, you know, in very limited circumstances, this is what they say, would not be fined or for any violations that occur that they themselves find. So this is a point of contention, as you might expect, between people who believe that environmental regulations are in general becoming less regulatory and they're not, you know, stringent enough. And then the folks who are saying, no, we're just fine tuning the system so that it allows people to be more involved.
Well, God dwells in the details, as they say. So if you were to encourage companies to report something quickly, then it would save you some money catching them. And they would have an incentive to say, oops, we got to catch this and fix it before we get fined. Are there time limits, restraints on the amount of time you have to report your infraction?
To be honest with you, I don't know if there are time limits specific to that. And I think those are the things that they'll work out. You see, what the Department of Environmental Quality does is it implements as part of the EMC. They tell them how to implement these things and they move forward. Some of those things will probably change. What's interesting to me as part of this, it should note that the EPA has long opposed this kind of statutory audit privilege. So it's not something they like to see in any state doing. North Carolina is pushing forward with it. So I think that gives you some sense of where North Carolina is in relation to other states.
Dave DeWitt, WNC's environment reporter. Thank you very much, Dave.
My pleasure.
Just ahead on The State of Things, we will talk to a poet about what it means to act boyishly. Stay tuned to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.